Father, we give you all the praise, and it's our prayer as we go into your word that, Lord, you will release your spirit and quicken our understanding to know the truth you want us to know this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak against every contrary thing. We speak against every workings of the devil, that, Lord, all of them will be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ. That, Lord, you will have your free flow in our midst in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we are prayed. Amen. Let's open our Bible to Philemon. And then we'll read verse 4. Philemon, from verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Verse 6 again, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This morning I will be speaking to us on the message titled, The Key of Knowledge. The key of knowledge. In the passage that we have read, and we have two other texts that we will also go through, you notice the challenge of a Christian is knowledge. The cause of limitation of a Christian is knowledge. Many times, if you find a Christian going through one thing or the other, sometimes people can say, maybe the person does not have more faith, or maybe the person should pray the more. But again, I say, the primary challenge of a Christian is knowledge. Verse 6 of that passage again said, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The first thing I want you to notice is that Paul addressed the recipient of this letter by saying in verse 5, he said, hearing of your love and hearing of your faith. And you will notice that actually, if you say a believer has a faith problem, it's illogical. Because in the first place, what did you call him? What did you call him? A believer. So, before we can become a Christian, we have already bypassed that barrier. It is because we exercise faith. That's why we are now called a Christian. So, in this passage, he acknowledged the fact that the person has faith. And he also acknowledged another thing, that the person has love. But verse 6 again now, he said, there's this last part, acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Acknowledging of every good thing which is in you. Acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. By the virtue that we are now in Christ, there are some good things that are in us. Because I am not a Christian, because I am not in Christ, there are some good things that are in me by virtue of being a Christian. And he was talking about it, that the acknowledging of those things is what will make your faith effective. By the acknowledging of those things is what will make your faith effective. Now, if you talk of acknowledging, then you are saying in the initial stage, the person knows the thing. So the first stage would be to know what is in you. The second stage is to acknowledge that they are there. Praise the Lord. So you can read that passage again. Your faith will be effective by the acknowledging of what is in you by virtue of you being a Christian. So which means by being a Christian, there are some things that are in every one of us. And that is the reason why you will not be limited by faith, for example. You will not be limited by love. Your limitation will be primarily the absence or inadequacy of the knowledge of what you have in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now let's try some other passages. Ephesians chapter 1, I think. Let's open to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 to 23. Now, the three passages actually, this first one, you notice that there's something common about them. In this one, the Philemon, he said, when I heard of your faith, this were my prayers. The same thing. This one is also, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. The same thing. Really, the three passages I'm going to use, they are the content of the prayers of the apostle for new converts. So the first one, you see, immediately I heard of your faith. So it was not writing to people that had no faith. And incidentally, he was using two words. He was not writing to people that had no love. He was writing to Christians. And then in this place, now verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Verse 17. Now I want you to pay attention that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's the first one. Now, verse 18. the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. That's the second one. What is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power? If you are very observant, the content of this prayer was just knowledge. Maybe we go over it again. The first one, he said, he's praying that God will give them spirit of wisdom, revelation in what? In the knowledge of him. The second one, he said, he's praying that they will be, their eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Enlightened is still knowledge. So that they will be able to know. He's still praying about knowledge. Know what? Know the hope of his calling. That's one. Number two now, to know what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So all the prayer, all the primary concern of the apostle was knowledge. In Philemon, the effectiveness of your faith will be restricted by what you know that you have in Christ. These are new converts, and top on the priority of the prayer of the apostle was knowledge, because like he has said in Philemon, your effectiveness of your faith, you cannot actually achieve beyond, your faith cannot actually achieve beyond your understanding of what you have in Christ. And that's why knowledge is the greatest challenge of a Christian. Now let me use another example now. I think that one is Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we read verse 4. Again, notice, it's the same pattern. And then this establishes the truth. Since we heard of your faith, I hope you remember, and of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. The same thing. In Ephesians, since we heard of your faith and your love. Philemon, since I heard of your faith and your love. Now, the next thing. The next, verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel. Verse 6. Which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. Verse 7. As ye have learned also of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Verse 8. Who also declare unto you your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with what? With knowledge. The challenge of the believer is not necessarily faith. Actually, it is the challenge of an unbeliever that is faith. Let me remind us. Let's look at some passages And you see what is commonly said to unbelievers. We know them. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 16. What is commonly targeted to unbelievers. Mark 16, 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth. The greatest challenge of the unbeliever is to believe. But after the believer has believed, after the unbeliever has believed, the immediate thing that will help him is the knowledge. In John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever does what? Believe. So the unbeliever cannot cross the hurdle, cannot progress with God, except he believes. So his greatest problem is to believe. But after he has believed, after he has moved to the kingdom of light, what next? Praise the Lord. So you notice that knowledge is very key. And it's sometimes challenging because there are many Christians that do not know what they have in Christ. Many times when you listen to some prayer, you know, yes, this person is a genuine Christian. But the way this person is praying is very clear. Is not having a good knowledge of what he has in Christ. And then you can understand why it's always a great burden in the heart of the apostle. Immediately he heard or hears about any set of new converts that I pray they will understand, they will have knowledge of what they have in Christ. To break it down, let me just give us some of them, but then we'll go to, in the passage we just read in Ephesians, and even in Colossians, it talks about at least five things that you must be knowledgeable in as a Christian. Five. Number one, you must have the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. Number two, you must have the knowledge of the will of God. The knowledge of the will of God. Number three, you must have the knowledge of the hope of his calling. Of the hope of his calling. Number four, you must have the knowledge of how glorious is the inheritance that we have in Christ. How glorious is that inheritance? In the first instance, you must have a knowledge that you have an inheritance in God. But beyond understanding that you have an inheritance, you must also know what is the magnitude of that inheritance. And number five, you must have the knowledge of the power that God has made available at your disposal. Knowledge of the power that God has made available to you. Which means you must know that God has seeded certain power for your usage. Praise the Lord. But let me use this passage so that you understand again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, maybe let's read first Ephesians chapter 1, maybe verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1. Maybe let's read from verse 1. It could be a long, from verse 1. From verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Okay. Yeah, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. Maybe let's stop there. That is the first duty. If I will be successful as a Christian, there are things that have been freely given to me. Every Christian is blessed. Every Christian is loaded. There is no Christian that needs to be blessed. Do you understand? What did he just say? That you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. And there is no blessing like spiritual blessing. Like if I ask us now, I'm an undergraduate student. What is my prospect? I'm in part one. What is my prospect? For somebody like us that studies zoology, I know the day I mentioned that I was to study zoology to my parents, they were agitated. They were really agitated. But as a Christian, whatever you are studying, then I ask you, if you truly understand this knowledge of what has been freely given to you, so if I ask you, what is your prospect? What will be your answer? You just finish, and unfortunately, by your ignorance, because you had pass or you had third class, then I ask you, what is your prospect? So what will your answer be? As a Christian, I am in part one. What should be my prospect? According to what I have in Christ, what should be my prospect? There's no reason why I shouldn't make first class. According to what I have in Christ. Do you understand? But I tell you, if it so happened that you got to part four and you graduated, and you still came out with not so good result, I still ask you again, what is your prospect? What is your prospect? The effectiveness of your prayers will be limited by your understanding of your privileges in Christ. So if a Christian comes and say, Nigeria is this, what is your own? Because your reality is based on what you have. And what is it that you have in Christ? You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. I ask you, Do you need somebody to help you? As much as you need people, ultimately, by virtue, there is this word that was used, and it's a very powerful word. He said, you have an inheritance. You have an inheritance. If you have studied the word inheritance is one of the greatest inventions of man. One of the few things that when it happens to you, it will drastically change your status. Because by inheritance, you can become a billionaire within a few minutes. Without doing anything. Do you agree? Maybe if I use inheritance, then we understand. Like a child of Dangote, eventually, one day, if Dangote is no more, not because he's smart, not because he was hardworking, would become a billionaire, yes or no? And that's what we have in Christ. That's what we have in Christ. And that alone should change the way I see life. So that's why I keep asking, I study zoology. What is my prospect? According to his riches in Christ, that's my prospect. I got this very terrible mark. It's good, it's not good, it's not good for us to get bad marks, but by virtue of what I have in Christ, it still does not matter. Because my reality is according to what I have in Christ. I hope we understand. So there are many ways by which we pray. But it's too obvious that this person is too ignorant. And that's why he says, by the acknowledging of what you have in Christ. Acknowledging what you have in Christ. So the problem is not that you don't have faith. The problem is not that we are not Christians or you are not praying enough. The problem is the context of the praying is outside of what has been freely. If something has been given to you, how do you pray about it? Because I can't, you understand what I mean? How do you pray about what has been given unto you? For example, now, the situation with the devil. What is the situation with the devil? Has been conquered. So now if I see a devil activity, demonic activity, how do I pray? I can pray as if the devil is active. And I can also pray if I understand that the devil has been defeated. Praise the Lord. So the key of knowledge. Everything will change if you now start to focus on understanding what you have in Christ. I don't want to multiply. So let's look at some things now. Now, I want to show us, I may not have much time, but at least I will be able to establish this point. I want to show us something. Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Verse 1. I tell you also, if a Christian is struggling with sin, the problem is not sin. The problem is also that the Christian lack what? Knowledge. Now let's read this. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Verse 2. God forbid. Be following. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. Now, verse 3. Now, these are the things I want you to notice. Know ye not? You know, you see now, what is his problem? He doesn't know. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. He doesn't know. Read it again. If it has so happened that I was planted in the likeness of his death, I shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. He doesn't know. That's his problem. His focus is on the scene. He does not understand that a lot has gone behind the scene that he was supposed to go and claim. Verse 6. You see again, knowing this, if you can solve the knowledge problem, you will go far. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. I always find out that there is this pressure to do something wrong. So my attention is on that thing. Abi? And then I look at the truth of the gospel. He said, my old man, that thing, is a dead man. If you know he's a dead man, it's like you see a dog, Abi, and they have closed, they've bound the mouth, and then it's charging at you. What will you do? You understand? But he doesn't know. He feels the old man still carries such potency. Do it, do it, do it. That's what you are hearing. Do it, do it. But it's a toothless door. If you stand in the truth of the word of God, nothing will happen. Why? The old man has been, do you know that it has been crucify. It doesn't have any effect or grip or power on you. Although he's backing, but he cannot do anything. If you stand your ground, praise the Lord. I think we're on verse 6. Now you say, so that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth there should not be possibility for you to be a servant of sin. It has been done. But I can approach sin as if it's a lively enemy. Or I can approach sin as if it is a defeated enemy. Verse 7. So you notice that it's just knowledge. He said, for he that is dead is free from sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Knowledge. He said, you have been crucified, Abi. You are dead. And he that is dead is free from sin. He that is dead. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified. I have been crucified. He that is dead is free from sin. This is what I need to know. So I ask you, is it possible for the pressure of sin to have effects over you? Yes or no? Yes or no? Why? For he that is dead is free from sin. Verse, I think 8 now, or 9. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9. Again, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dies no more, dead had no more dominion over him. Anyway, let's read verse 10. For in that he died unto sin one, but in that he liveth unto God. So I just use that as an example. If you don't know all these truths, all these things, you will always be doing ijakadi with sin. Because sin will always ride on your ignorance. So when the pressure comes, I confront it like Jesus Christ. It is written. He that is dead is free from sin. He that is dead cannot respond again. And then you get your freedom from the angle of knowledge. Now let's look at another thing. I think in Ephesians chapter 2, I think verse 6. I just give us some example. Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6 now. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, again in Christ. In Christ. So in Christ now, this is another thing that you have. What do you have? In Christ. You have never been to heaven, but you are in heaven. Do you know that? And you see, the way I understand this one is this. Now, we always talk about principalities and power, the rulers of the darkness of this world. Positionally, where are you in relation to them? Above. I ask, there's this problem that Daniel had. We read that he prayed and they blocked his prayer. Who blocked his prayer? Principalities and power. So I ask you, can your prayer be blocked? Why? Because you are what? Seated. Do you know that? Have you always been operating like that? Because many times you believe my prayers was in that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, in Christ, where are you? You are seated in the heavenly places. And that's why I remember where we start. Your faith will be effective based on the level of your understanding of what you have in Christ. So it should be difficult for me to believe that my prayers can be hindered. And I'm saying it not out of ignorance, but out of knowledge. I'm saying it because I am above principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Am I saying the Bible? Let's look at, because of time, I think Galatians. So now, again, so let me use illustration. When I see an activity of demons and I'm to pray, how do you pray? I pray with the knowledge that I'm attacking from, and if I'm attacking from above, do I have a privilege? But if you are not exercising your faith in the context of that truth, then you are complaining. So it is not that you don't have faith, it is just that your knowledge is inadequate. I hope you understand. So it is not that people don't pray, but many times people pray out of ignorance of what they have in Christ. Galatians chapter 3, I think verse 13. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is enough. Are you cursed? Yes or no? Are you cursed? Yes or no? There is curse in my family. So what is my situation now? What is your situation now? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. He used to kill people when they get pregnant. Now I am pregnant. Will he kill me? Yes or no? Can he kill me? Why? I have been redeemed from that curse. I am at the moment feeling as if the curse is having a grip upon me. Even if you are feeling it, will it succeed? If you know this, even when you are feeling it, you are not agitated. Why? Because I have been redeemed, I have been exempted from this. Lord, let it not happen to me. Lord, let it not happen to me. That is one approach. Another approach is, I destroy. You are not asking God. Because what is the situation? God has already done it. I am the one to now acknowledge it. And if you are acknowledging, it's like you are taking the check to bank. If you are going to bank, do you say, they used to give me check from church. So when I get to bank, I'm still calling pastor. Do you still call pastor? You understand what I'm saying? You are going to enforce. They don't have any choice than to give you. Your faith will only be as effective as the knowledge of your rights and privileges in Christ. So that's why I say, sometimes you hear people pray and you know they don't know anything about what they have in Christ. So I've given this example, time is gone. So I say, the key of knowledge. You need to go and find a notebook, higher education, and write out what you have and meditate upon them and make them to be like the shield.
The Bible says, the shield of faith with which you quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Eh? So when the effects of the curses are coming, what do you? You take this shield and you quench it. You quench it. It's you. So it's a direct thing. It is not a begging. You enforce it. And you start to operate your faith. Operate. So, okay. Paul did this prayer. My God shall supply all your needs. How did he end it? Do you see how they do? My prospect. So if I'm to pray about my future and my prospect and opportunities, how am I dealing with them? The things I will write down initially will be according. If I can give this thing. There was a time when I was varsity, and maybe I was leading prayer or something, and I mentioned the same thing. And I didn't know one of us took it very serious. And what I said is this: if you know that what you will ask will be given to you, what will you ask? Eh? And he came out to give the testimony, and he wrote out everything, and he got everything exactly. It's possible the person is watching us. And that's the way you operate your faith. Which job should you apply for? Eh? According to your grade. You understand? Is that what you should do? According to his riches in Christ Jesus. So let's close our eyes this morning. And I want you to rejig the way you have been doing things. Some people say, I don't have chance yet. Why are you saying you don't have chance? Why? So I want you to attack those situations again with the knowledge of what you have in Christ. With the knowledge of what you have in Christ. Whatever your limitations now, you understand the way you attack them. Break barriers. Destroy limitations. Let your prayer life change. Let your expression of faith change. I want you to pray to the Lord. I want to take it serious. For those who want to take advantage of what we have in Christ. That sin that always overpower you, I destroy the grip of this sin over my life. I destroy this grip of this sin over my soul. I destroy the grip of this sin over my spirit. Yes. I want you to tell the Lord. I destroy its grip over my spirit. I destroy its grip over my soul. I destroy its grip over my life in the name of Jesus Christ. You say, let my undertaking prosper from now on according to the glory, the riches of the glory of Christ. Yes, speak to whatever you do. I decree that it should prosper according to the riches of the glory of the inheritance that I have in Christ. As I launch into the labor market, I decree that my prospects will be according to the riches of the glory of the inheritance I have in Christ. As I prepare for exam, Lord, my chances will be according to the riches of the glory of the inheritance I have in Christ. Say, anything contrary, I destroy them. Anything contrary, I destroy them. Anything contrary, I destroy them. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now that you know you are above principalities and power, I want you to pray, Lord, I destroy every demonic activity over my family. I destroy every form of demonic activity over my family in the name of Jesus Christ. So speak authoritatively. I scatter every demonic activity over my family. I scatter every demonic activity over my family in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to pray, I quench every movement of curses across my lineage. I quench it. I quench every generational movement of curses in my lineage, in my bloodline. I quench every movement of curses in my bloodline. I want you to pray. Now pray over your business. Pray over your health. Pray over your children. If you have not been performing well in your exam, pray very well about it. I invoke the grace of God into my memory. I invoke the grace of God into my brain. I invoke the grace of God into my performance. In the name of Jesus Christ, I invoke the power of God. He said, knowledge of the power that has been made available to you. I invoke the power of God into my brain. I invoke the power of God into my memory. I rejuvenate my intellectual capacity with the power of the Almighty. I rejuvenate my intellectual capability with the power of the Almighty.
you like to rise on your feet. And as you rise, as you have risen, I want you to cry unto the Lord. I want you to cry unto the Lord and ask the Lord to open your understanding to the mystery of the world. That the Lord will take you deeper. No, we've been talking about the knowledge. That the Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, you've seen, you have heard, that many things that you are going through is because of lack of knowledge. It's because the issues about your life. It's because you lack knowledge and you do not give attention to the world. If you do not give attention to the world, how will you know all these things? And how will you know? Because you do not spend time. We like to talk to the Lord about your life in the name of Jesus. We like to talk to the Lord. Like to talk to the Lord and declare, Father, open my understanding. Open my understanding. Remove the veil in my heart. Remove the veil. Remove the veil. In the name of the Lord Jesus, remove the veil. Remove the veil. Remove the veil. When Paul was talking in the book of Acts chapter 28, he was prophesying, was speaking what Isaiah said. And he was saying that I will make these people to be blind. I will make these people not to understand. I will make these people not to know. It's because once he knows that you have an insight, you will get a breakthrough. But today, you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you are moving from level of ignorance to the level of knowledge. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you are no longer going to stay in the level of ignorance again. On the word of life, on the word that sets you free, on the word that delivers, on the word that gives you freedom, on the word that heals, by the power of your knowledge in Him, in Christ Jesus, the riches of His glory. Let us speak to the Lord, cry unto the Lord. Cry unto the Lord and cry that the Lord, by the name of Jesus Christ, will help me, will help you, will help every one of us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we glorify you this day, Lord. We exalt you, Jehovah Father, for speaking unto us today. We give you thanks, Almighty God, because, Lord, of the love you have for us. Thank you because the time of ignorance is gone. Thank you because our eyes of understanding have been enlightened. By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in this your light we shall see light. In the name of Jesus, Lord, by your power and your spirit, as you have brought us into light, we will not walk in ignorance again. We will not walk in darkness again. We ask the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to help us to understand your mind and your counsel, to understand your will in the name of Jesus. Grant unto us knowledge of you, knowledge of your will, knowledge of your counsel, of your mind. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will raise, we will raise this assembly up, Lord, in the knowledge of you. Thank you, Father. Thank you very much for your servant whom you have used. By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask for increase of knowledge of the Lord over him. We pray that he will grow in the knowledge of you more and more. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for the inheritance that are open unto us. We're keen to this inheritance. And each one of us will live successfully, victoriously. Blessed be thy name forever. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we put our hands together for Lord Jesus? God bless you. Thank you very much.